My plan was to do the message, give the message, and you guys would have to try and figure out or guess which of the 12 words I'm talking about this morning. So I wasn't going to say we're talking about joyous today. I'm going to do the message, and then I'm going to ask you guys, okay, so what is the word? Or as soon as you maybe we'll do this. As soon as you think you figured out what the word is, you can raise your hand that we're talking about this morning. So that was kind of my idea. You got it already?
Expected.
Nope, not expected. So I thought that was what I was going to do today, but then I gave Nathan the passage of Scripture that I was going to try it out on Nathan a little bit. I said, so here's just the passage of Scripture that I'm going to be working on today. And he read it, and he came back, and he goes, well, but I think it might be this. And he gave this little thing about why it could be that. Or he says, or it could be this one. And he gave this little sermon about how it could be this one. He says, but really, this is the one that I really like. And he gave this little sermon. So I got like three little sermons this morning that were absolutely fantastic. I don't know how he does it in like 10 minutes. He has three sermons. And it takes me a week to come up with one. But he gave me these three little sermons. And guess what? None of them were the word I was thinking about. I was thinking, wow, I should be talking to him earlier or something. Anyway, so I'm going to start off with a little story this morning. And yeah, Gavin, I think it was you. I'm not sure, but I think it was you this week on Thursday when we had the funeral and the funeral dinner here. I think you came in early. Help me out here. Did you come in early and go back and talk to me by the kitchen? Was it you that came in and said, I know this building? Yes? Okay, I thought it was you. So Gavin came in before the funeral, and I was back there by the kitchen trying to taste test something, but they wouldn't give me anything. I was, you know, doing my job, and this young man, Gavin, came in, and he says, hey, he came over to me, and I said, how you doing, buddy? And he goes, I'm doing good. He goes, I know this place. And I said, you do? He goes, yeah, I've been here before. I said, all right. Well, cool. He goes, I know this place. I know every room. I said, you do? He goes, yep, I know every room. He says, I've opened every door here. I've opened every door, and I've looked. Didn't you say that, Gavin? He said, I've opened every door, and I've looked inside. I said, you have? He goes, yeah. He says, I know this place completely. He says, but I'm going to go check it out again and see if anything's changed. I said, all right, you go ahead. He goes, I'm going to go open every door. I said, go open every door. And he goes, all right, I'm going. And did you go open every door again? Huh? Not every door. All right. Some of them might have been locked. I don't know. But most of the doors. Has it changed much? Nope. Hasn't changed much. Why do I tell that story? Because I think it goes along exactly. And you know what? It was funny, and I laughed about it because he just marched off. He was going to go open every door. And I was like, well, more power to you, brother. When I get lost, I'm going to call you. It's because I get lost in this place sometimes when it gets dark. So anyway. That's pretty cool. You might not realize it, but it hasn't always been like that. Coming to worship used to be very, very different when you came to the place of worship. There's a passage in Hebrews. My nose is kind of running. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 10 I'd like to take a look at. I blew my nose without doing it in the microphone. Hebrews chapter 10, begin at verse 19. And I'm going to read this whole passage, and maybe by the time I get done, you'll know what word I'm talking about. If you do, just kind of raise your hand. We're playing a little game, remember, this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, begin at verse 19. It says, therefore, there it is. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's our passage. You're thinking, well, what does that have to do with the church and all the doors? That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you hear what's going on in this passage, especially at the very beginning. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Now, what he's talking about is how the Jewish worship used to be. You guys remember that? They didn't always have the great tabernacle. They didn't have this great big building with the pillars and all this. It used to be in a tent. You remember that? They used to build a tent, and the tent was sectioned into different places. And even after the tent was put away and they actually had an actual building, it was still sectioned into different places. The place, the outer courtyard was the Gentiles could come and worship, and the inner courtyard, and then the inner, and then the most holy of holies. It was sectioned off so that you couldn't go and open all the doors, Gavin. You would have been in big trouble if you would have showed up at the temple and started peeking behind all the curtains. As a matter of fact, they would have put you to death. That would not have been cool, would it? Hebrews chapter 9, I think it is, explains this even a little bit better. Is it chapter 9? Let me look here real quick. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 9. It says, now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also with the earthly sanctuary, the church. It says, the tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstand and the table and the consecrated bread was. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. And that's what it's talking about in Hebrews chapter 10, this most holy place. It says, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the golden jar of manna and Aaron's staff that had budded and the stone tablets of the covenant. And above the ark were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things. And this most holy of holy place was a very sacred place. As a matter of fact, only one person could enter into the most holy of holy places. Only one person, the high priest, who was chosen out of the line of Aaron and out of the high priest, only this one person could enter the most holy of holy places one time a year. Only once could you enter the holy of holies. And only one guy could do it. So, how would you like to go to a church like that? Let's say you were a foreigner, and you saw the Jewish nation, and you saw them from afar, and you started studying and watching how they were, and they're set apart. You could tell there's something different about. And you approach one of the Jewish people, and you said, "I want to go with you to worship. I want to go worship with you." And the Jew guy would go, "I don't think so." What do you mean you don't think so? You got this beautiful tent, or you got this beautiful temple over here. I want to go worship. Well, you really can't go unless you're born again. You're a Jewish person. Only Jewish people can go there. Well, okay, I'll become a Jew, and then I want to go with you, and I want to go into that temple. I want to go and worship. He goes, well, you know, that's great. I like that idea. That'd be really good. But you have to understand, even if you're Jewish, you can't go into that part of the temple. What do you mean? He says, well, in order to go into that spot, you have to be in the line of Aaron. You have to be a priest. Actually, you have to be the high priest. He goes, all right, well, I'll just become, you know, I'll do that. I'll become a high priest, and then I can go in there anytime I want. Well, no, you can't go in there anytime you want. You can only go in once a year. How would you feel? Would you feel apart? Is this something well, that sounds great. That's why what we've got right now is so amazing. You know why we have this? It's because of what it says here. It says we're able to enter the most holy place. We have access to the throne room of God. It says by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Curtain that is his body. Kind of a neat thing, and we forget about these things because we have free access. I mean, right? You can walk through these doors anytime. You can walk through any door. You can walk in here and walk into just about any door. There's total access to you. But back then, this curtain was a huge separation. If you go back to Leviticus, this curtain was a thick, heavy curtain. It was made out of four different colors. It had red, had purple, it had blue, and it had white. It was a beautiful curtain. It was very thick. And it was a separation between the holy place where the priest could go and the most holy place where only the high priest could go once a year. And nobody was supposed to go past that curtain. You remember what happened to the curtain? The day that Christ was crucified. As a matter of fact, at the moment of his death, you can go back to any of the Gospels, except for John. I don't think John records it. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the same thing. At the moment of Christ's death, the earth shook, and it says the temple, the curtain in the temple was torn. Rich is going to correct me here real quick, because it wasn't just torn. He's told me this so many different times, right? How was it torn, Rich?
It was rent.
It was rent from top to bottom. It was rent from top to bottom. And the reason it was rent from top to bottom, so many people believe, is because it wasn't by man ripping it from bottom to top. It was by God who was saying, I'm tearing this open. I am making access to the most holy of holies, not through the blood of rams or through the blood of calves or any other type of sacrifice. It's through the blood of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, that we now have access to God, that we now have an opportunity to come into the holiest of holy places. Fellowship with him, be united with him, have access to God. But there's some words in here that you need to notice. The curtain, which is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, listen to what it says. Let us draw near to God with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. Did you catch the emphasis? I'm trying to give you a major hint here. Got it? Huh? Sure, if you think you got it, raise your hand. If you think you have it, raise your hand. Let us, we, our, let us. You see, so many times in our hearts and in our minds, we think this Christian walk, this Christian faith, is a me thing, a personal thing. And it is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Get it, got it, understand it. It's your relationship with him. It's by grace that you have been saved. But the Christian walk is not a singular walk. It's not a, I'm going to do it on my own. It's not the one set of footprints in the sand. It's a us together type of walk. When Jesus is talking to the churches in Revelation, when Paul is writing each one of the letters, none of the letters are necessarily written to one individual. Who's it written to? It's written to the church. The church. You see, we're united. Whoops. That was a pretty big giveaway, wasn't it? Okay, game over. We're united as a body. And we need to be doing life together and sharing with one another and not giving up the coming together as a body. You see, this is one of the most important things. As a matter of fact, Christ calls us by three different examples. He explains us this church thing with three different examples. One, he says that the body, and I've been using it right, the church is the what? The body of Christ. That we are the body of Christ. And who is the head of that body? Christ himself. He's the head. And that means that we are the neck, and the ears and the eyes and the hands and the fingers and the elbows and the toes and the knees and the joints and all the different parts. We as collectively, the people, the church, are the body of Christ. And if a part of the body is missing, if a part of the body is hurting, then we're all going to hurt. You see, you can cut off a person's head. You can just have Christ alone. You can just have the head, right? But it's not very effective, just the head. You see, the head needs the body too. It needs the appendages in order to do the things and go to the places and accomplish the task. See, we can have all the great ideas, but without the people, without the body of Christ doing the things, we're not going to be very effective. We need each other. It's important that we're together and serving together. You know what? Each one of you, I look out here, oh my goodness. It's amazing the talent, the skills, the ability, and the knowledge that I get to look at every Sunday morning. And I say that all sincerely. It is absolutely amazing the collective power that is in this room right now. Amazing. And each one of you are and can do incredible things by yourself. And a lot of you are doing it. But if you're trying to do all things by yourself, you are limiting the effectiveness of who you are and who Christ created you to be. Because there's not a single one of you in here, including me, every single one of us are limited by our inabilities. And God places us together in a body so that my inabilities will be covered up by Wesley's. Because his strengths are my weaknesses. And my strengths might be his weaknesses. And we put it all together and we are a strong body of Christ. Another way that we're talked about, how God describes the body of Christ or this church, is that we're a building. A building. That we're a building. And when he's talking about a building, he's not talking about, you know, this structure and stuff like that. He says that we're a building. And guess what the foundation is? Christ is the foundation of this building. And we're the part of the structure. Now, you can have a structure without a foundation, but how long is that going to last? Not very long, is it? Every structure has to have some type of foundation. If it doesn't, it's going to collapse. It might stand for a little while, but without the foundation of Christ, it's going to collapse. And you can have a foundation, which is Christ, but no building. And how effective is that going to be? Well, you got a nice roller skating rink outside, I guess, but not very effective. You see, it needs both. And then the one I like the most is the description of the church as a body, as a building, but as a bride. Church is a bride of Christ. It means he's the husband, and we're his bride, who he loves, who he cherishes, who he sacrificed for, and will continue to do so. But when he says the bride, he's also talking about the idea that the two become one. They're inseparable. They become one flesh. And they start working together as a unit. You know, I said it tongue-in-cheek, but I meant it very seriously, because I figured out how incomplete I am without my wife. And I mean that. We joke about it. We fight. She's smiling back there. She goes, I always win when we fight. She always wins, I mean, when we fight. We don't have a perfect relationship by any means, but I wouldn't want to go through life with anyone else but her. Because God gave me an amazing helper. Where I'm weak, she's strong. Where she's weak, I try to be strong. And I'm so blessed. And when Christ says that the church is his bride, it makes me want to protect his bride. You see, we have an amazing privilege to be a part of this body, to be a part of the bride, to be a part of this building that God is creating. And we need to take that very seriously. When it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Listen to what it says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You see, our witness is stronger as a body. Our ability to come together and allowing that to be a priority in our life speaks volumes to the world. Now, some people, I even hesitate getting here because we could look at United from a lot of different ways. And some people are going to walk away from here saying, well, Eldon's just, you know, he's just concerned about church attendance and numbers and all this other stuff. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I am. I am concerned about church attendance, and I am concerned about numbers. You know why I'm concerned about numbers and church attendance? Because every single one of those numbers represents a person I care about deeply. And I want to see the best for that individual, and I want to see the best for the bride, and for the body, and for the building. And you know what? I think at times we take our ability to come to church very lightly. We take it for granted in so many different ways. Just think, if you could only go into this building if you were the right person from the right family and you were only in the right position, that's the only way that you'd come into this building. That's the only way that you're allowed to attend. And all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I'm just not welcome. But you know what? That's the opposite of today. As a matter of fact, these doors are open all the time. And our desire is that you're here all the time, worshiping and serving and helping one another. And as we're doing that, we're witnessing to the world that Christ is the most important thing in our life. The most important thing. I understand. I get it. I understand that things come up. I get that. I understand it. But you've got to understand something else. Satan has a wonderful way of making excuses so that you don't have to come or that you don't think you should come. And what he's doing, he's tearing down the witness. He's tearing down the ability of the body to function the way he designed it to work. And let's just play a little game. Let's say that we played that same game. We tried to apply that same thought process that we have to other areas of our life. Let's say that we made the excuse, I'm not going to go because this person made me mad. Or I have a disagreement with this person. So I'm not going to go because that person and I, we just don't get along. And I just don't think I can worship with that person in my midst. Even if they're on the other side of the room, I just can't do that. Let's apply that to another area of your life, okay? How many of you went to the football game Friday night? Come on! Not as many as I thought. So this isn't working as well as I thought. So there was a huge crowd at the football game. Huge crowd. It was absolutely awesome. Guys did great. It was a lot of fun. Super. My question is, everyone at that football game, did you get along with every one of them? No. Were you there? Yeah. Why? Because I'm supporting my child or whatever. I'm there because we have a common interest, watching the boys or supporting the boys, right? And so you're able to get along. Okay, let's say this. How many of you, I bet you I'm going to get you on this one. How many of you go to restaurants to eat? Raise your hand if you go to a restaurant to eat. Terry? Come on, brother. I know you. Never? You can't go to restaurants to eat. You don't even go there and sit and watch Mark eat.
No,
So let's apply the same thing. Let's say, do you stop going to restaurants because there might be someone there that you disagree with? Huh? Do you stop going to restaurants because somewhere you got a bad meal at McDonald's, so you stop going to all restaurants? You see what I'm saying? You see, Satan has a wonderful way of trying to take the things of church and things of God and the things of relationship with Christ and try to separate it from everything else in your life. You got to get sensible with this. We're not always going to get along. We're not always going to agree. As a matter of fact, I could bring up some issues right now that I bet you I could divide the church in half right now. I really do. I bet you I could say two words. I'm not going to do it. But I bet you I could say, if you're on this side of that issue, sit over here. If you're on this side of the issue, sit over here. I could divide the church, boom, like that. Here's the thing. We're not here for that issue. We're here for one issue. What's his name? Jesus. I can agree on that. And my witness is to him, not to all the other issues in the world. You see, our witness is stronger when we commit and are there. It says something when you drive every Sunday morning past your neighbor who's out, whatever they're doing, cutting the grass, hitting the golf ball, washing the windows. It says something to them when you're there consistently. It says there's something more important in my life than anything else, and I'm not going to miss. Again, some people are going to say, Eldon, you're just trying to make sure all the seats are full. You know what? Yeah, in a way, because every seat in here represents a person that I love. And I want them to be growing in their relationship with Christ. I need them. I need you guys. Can I tell you a little something? This shocked me. This little post-it note here. You gotta understand, I don't do this because I'm doing this because I love. And I mean that sincerely. Because every Monday morning, one of Andrea's first jobs when she comes in is she does attendance for us. Does a great job of it. Takes a lot of time, doesn't it? I know Randy, it's kind of a team thing because Randy sits here and helps take attendance on Sunday morning. She puts together this little thing, and I get this little report on my desk about mid-morning every Sunday. And you can ask Andrea, or every Monday, excuse me. You can ask Andrea, every Monday when I'm in here and I get my little report, what do? I go through it, don't I? I mean, I pour through every name on this three sheets of paper that I get every Monday. And a lot of times, it's to the point that I actually say, Andrea, you missed this one. This person was actually here. Or you know what? I don't remember seeing them. I mean... I care about this. Not the numbers, I care about you. Just last week, I'm just saying this. This little report comes out of how many Sundays we've missed. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sundays. It kind of ranks it, not ranks it, but puts it in that type of order. We had 51 people just last week, 51. That had been missing for one Sunday. Just one. And that usually means something just came up that Sunday. I get that. One Sunday. 51. Just last week, we had 25 people missing for just two Sundays. 25. So who can add? I know Steve can add. So 51 and 25. 76. We had 13 people missing for three Sundays. We had 12 people missing for four Sundays. Eight missing for five. I like it that the number is going down. Everyone notice that? It's going down. That's a good thing. Six missing for six Sundays. Seven. No, I'm sorry. Now I'm messing you up. 3 missing for 6, 3 missing for 7, 8, 7 missing for 8. Now I've really messed you up. The total is, you're totally messed up, aren't you? 130. Hold on. 130 missing. Now, ouch is right. 100 and, no wait. How effective is the body with 130 missing? How beautiful is the bride? That's about half. Half the bride. You know what I'm saying? Half the bride missing. How sturdy. Let's just take out half the poles. Would you like to walk in here then? I'm saying this with all the love of my heart. We need to be here. The body of Christ needs you. And it needs the ones that are missing today. We're ineffective, unproductive without you. As a matter of fact, he says very plainly here. He says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. I understand. I'm looking at Don right now. Don, I know you've got a job that just can't do it. And you know what? And I get it, and I understand it. God has placed you in that job to provide for your family, to take care of them, but he's also placed you in that job because I know that on Sunday mornings, you are a witness to the people that you work with. Right? And brother, I love you, and I understand, and I get it, and I know there's so many others that are in this place, and they're in their same predicament, but what I'm talking to are the ones who are choosing not to. And the reason is, so many times, is when we're struggling with something, when there's something going on in our lives, we want to push ourselves away and try to get away from the body. Yes? Guess what? You're playing right into Satan's hands. Because when you're struggling, when you push yourself away, who's around you? You're by yourself. And when you're by yourself, who's going to attack more than anything else? That's when you're at your weakest point. You know, when you're struggling, you need to gather around those who love you. And here's the thing. We do love you. You need strength through numbers, through encouragement, by spurring one another on, and to be in a part of the body and the bride and the building of Christ. To be together to encourage one another, to hold each other accountable. And for your own sake and your own growth. You see, united, we stand. Divided, we fall. I got a phone call this week. It was just a weird week. I got a phone call this week from someone from another church. I won't say who or where. And it's on Monday morning, Monday afternoon. I don't remember which it was. It was Monday. I'm out riding my horse. I'm riding a horse again. Praise God. He's awesome. Not my horse, God. Ride my horse, and I'm talking on the phone. And this gentleman, why he called me, I have no idea. Called me and said very plainly, he says, my church is dying. I said, what? He goes, our church is dying. And I don't know what to do. People stop coming. And I don't know what to do. And I want to sit down and talk with you about what we can do. And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I would like to have that conversation with someone too. Not that we're dying, but that I don't ever want to get to that place. You see, we need to be a part of a church that is constantly growing and encouraging. And we can't do that without you. You know, you could look around right now and you can see the people that are missing today. What do you mean you can look around and see the people that are missing? You can look around and see who's missing from our body. And every week, I don't go knocking on doors. I don't do that. If you're gone 5 weeks or 6 weeks, I don't call you up on the phone and say, you know, Sarah, this is what you need to do. You need to get back to church. I don't do that. You want to know how I do it? Is I know you, and I place myself in places where you're going to be. Have you ever noticed that? See, hear all the laughter here? I have no business being in most of the places that I'm at. I just happen to show up. With reason. Because that's where you're at. I tell you, I love you, don't I? And I miss you. And we need you. And I mean it. We're better together than apart. And you might not think you need us, but I'm telling you right now, we need you to do the things that God is calling us to do. He wants us to be body, united, together, as his bride, as his body, and as his building. We need each other. Amen. I love you guys. The more time I get to spend with you, the more I love you. And you are an encouragement to me, and I appreciate that. Let's encourage one another, spur one another on, and do the things that he's calling us to do. Amen? I'm done.